Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. This is not a happy hour. Coming to you from the kitchen studios high atop downtown Raleigh, telling the food and beverage stories from inside the bottle, on the farm and at the kitchen, I am the butler, Keely Motherfucking Wagner, and here's your host, Max Trujillo!
Hello, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. I am your co-host, Max Trujillo.
I think.
Are you sure about that? I am your co-host, Matthew Weiss.
Thank you. That is the beautiful and my wife, Felicia Trujillo, filling in for Matthew Weiss because it's day one of a five-day series called This Is Not a Happy Hour Again, which is the second year we've ever done this here at the kitchen. And with this first installment, just to explain it to everyone, we decided to throw a party every day from the hours of 4 to 7, Monday through Friday. That time when you want to just hang out with your friends, post-work, maybe cut out early, have a drink, have some food, and socialize. Well, in North Carolina, you can't discount alcohol for any time of the day legally. So instead, we just said, well, let's not do that. Let's just not charge any money. Let's just have all of our friends and community get together and throw a party. So we have great food every single night, with great distillers every single night, with great breweries every single night, and great cocktail makers every single night. So with that said, let's go around the room. We pulled a few people that are in the room right now. It's kind of a packed house.
I just got an email that one of the kids barfed in the car.
It's good times.
So this good sounds time. Like a day at work.
All right, so to paint the picture, Monday night we were more than excited to have the team from White Hill Kitchen and Brewing and Aaron Lambert from Whiskey Kitchen collaborate. So, starting off, Chef Kyle Fletcher, you are the chef of White Hill Kitchen.
Yes, sir.
It's good to have you on here, man.
Yeah, it's been a fun night.
You're not even by yourself. Who's with you?
So I have my daughter Amelia hanging out. She's in the room right now.
Amelia, you want to say hi? Get on the microphone real quick.
Hi.
There we go.
All
That's
right.
Close enough.
You won't know them specifically by name in the food and beverage industry, but if you've ever been to any restaurant ever in the Triangle, you will have seen both Dan Patrick and Lena M. So Dan and Lena have been a part of the Boozy Brunchers, the scavenger hunt team that we won with the Curate competition, and we had a great little time out there in Nashville. Thank you for coming along and being here. Aaron of Whiskey Kitchen, what's going on, dude?
Not much. We were putting together, doing some footwork and research for a supper club coming up, our big whiskey dinners that you help us out with. Kyle helped us out at our last one, actually. So I was pretty excited when you asked me to come hang out. And I got to leave work real early and say, peace, nerds. I'm going to go make drinks and hang out with fun people.
Peace, nerds would be a great name for a restaurant, by the way. The Kraken is in. The Kraken's here.
Hello.
Yeah, Lauren, who helps us out with social media on the podcast, is here right now, and a writer for Raleigh Magazine. We have a nice group of people. I think like Monday night was the first night to just get sold out real fast. Sold out. It was just free RSVPs, but
I have that effect.
Yeah. 60, 70 people RSVP'd, so that was cool, and it happened all within like a day or two. The best part about this is that we can bring a bunch of people together from all different walks of life, and usually the general understanding is that we all like food and beverage and understand what's going on here in North Carolina. So, I don't know. With that said, we should talk about the food industry and what's going on with it. Dan, you dine all the time. Tell me something that you've done recently that you've enjoyed, some dining experience of some sort in North Carolina.
Oh, man. In North Carolina, we went to Hello Sailor.
Oh, nice.
Was that your first time?
What was it?
In Cornelius.
Kindred.
Oh, okay. So you
Tried to get into Hello Sailor, couldn't. Went to Kindred, went to Goodyear House on the first day they opened.
Oh, wow.
It was very good.
So what'd you think?
Oh, it was fantastic. I think we ordered seafood, some veggie dishes, appetizers. We ordered one of each.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
So you're not in the food and beverage industry per se by trade, but you're a North Carolina native.
Yes.
And what's the deal? You do like really crazy stuff for a profession, but you're totally into the food and beverage industry. What's going on?
I just love to eat. You know, I make breakfast, lunch, dinner, an event. Seriously, I don't go anywhere generic for any of them. And it's not
you know, I want every meal to be special. So, like, today we went to Players Retreat. Shout out to those guys. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we show up to White Hill.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
So, Food Scene.
Mm-hmm.
Food-scene.com, the original sponsor of the NCFMB podcast, basically just allowing your husband to do some crazy thing while you pay the bills.
Nailed it.
Yeah. So what's going on in your world, and what should we know about Food Scene that's happening?
I think the most exciting thing we have going on, well, there's always exciting things, but our most immediate exciting thing is we're launching a social media campaign for a beverage tomorrow morning that we've been sitting on for weeks. And this is Orangina, which is known as a French beverage, but it comes through to the U.S. via Pepsi Bottling Ventures, which is right here in Raleigh.
That's right. Yeah. I grew up just going nuts for Orangina. Like, I grew up in a deli, Deli DeMarco, my godfather, and if I did a job well done, he would give me a sandwich and a drink, and he would just say, go pick whatever you want out of the coolers. And it was always an Orangina, every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. And it's just kind of cool and full circle to know that you're repping them now, which is pretty sweet. And we actually have cocktails. Maybe that's a good segue, because Aaron, you made drinks tonight. And we knew in advance, because we knew that Felicia was going to work with Orangina. So I said to the bartenders all throughout the week, if you could do anything with Orangina, might as well do it. So what did you do?
I subbed it into a drink already on our menu. We have a Fernet and North Carolina whiskey-based cocktail called the Words of Affirmation, which is Fernet, Quinn's Irish whiskey, well, Irish-style whiskey made out of Great Wagon Road Distiller down in Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah.
Cheerwine, Vidari, local chocolate made here in Raleigh, and also Vesta dry hot sauce. And it was a big hit. We had a good time at the National Fernet Competition with that. A lot of our cocktail nerds like it. It's kind of a crazy cocktail. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
But it also scratches all your southern local itches.
I'm drinking it right now. And I'm drinking it neat.
We subbed. We took out the cheer wine and we put in the Orangina that you reduced at yeah. your house, which came out like that came out really crazy.
Yeah. So Aaron, while we're hanging out for our meeting, which was at Transfer Co. last 2 weeks ago, whatever, he's like, yeah, do you think you could just like reduce some Orangina for me? I went, yeah, that sounds good. I said, yeah, like 6 liters down to 1 liter. I went, oh, well, that's
like a lot.
He has spent all
Chef
night.
Kyle. Yeah, Chef Kyle, you know what that's like to just reduce.
Oh, yeah. That's hours.
Yeah.
That's hours.
And yeah. What's funny is just like the science of it. Like the first hour, it only reduced like, you know, 10% of the whole content. And then in the second hour, it just went
The reduction down. By itself tasted absolutely nothing like Orangina.
Yeah, it tasted like a vermouth.
I mean, when I made the drink.
Or like a sherry.
I thought because it was an orange-based soda that I would take the orange juice out of the original cocktail recipe. There's a splash of OJ in the rest. I need the acid to fuck with those sugars. And I pulled that out when I made it with the Orangina recipe, and it was wrong. It didn't take. It was just weird. And so I had to throw it back in. And that's what you're drinking right there.
It's awesome. Like, it's so refreshing and different.
So different, even though there's only one ingredient different, 1 ounce of one ingredient different.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't be.
It's wildly different.
It's very different than the cheer wine.
Yeah, well, the flavor profile from the Orangina when it was cooked down was complex.
It was.
Orangina itself, it's not just, you know, sparkling orange juice. It has lime and mandarin and different flavors in it. So I think it lended itself. Yeah. It lended itself well to this great kind of. I don't know.
And myself and my whole kitchen and my bar manager, we all got pretty giddy when we had this reduction in the house. We all grew up, Orangina was a thing we only saw on like vacation at hotel. Like I couldn't even tell you where to buy it. I don't think I've seen it in a store here.
It was Francie.
It was very Francie. Mm-hmm. And Max just walks in and gives me this now 32-ounce Nalgene full of the reduction. And everybody just got, it's such a silly out there thing to play with.
Yeah.
And we were throwing it into already one of our more wild cocktails that it was fun. You made a lot of nerds happy.
Yeah.
It's really cool because that product, everybody has a memory tied to Orangina. Mm-hmm. So it's been really fun kind of preparing
Mine
for
involves,
this.
I'm on vacation, mm-hmm. woo, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about pairing. Let's talk about the food that Chef Kyle, who, by the way, excuse me, because when we release this episode, it will be next Monday. So you're listening to this on March 2nd, so you're going to be downloading this on March 16th. And I believe that Kyle will
Time
be
travel.
Cooking for a classic in the next round, or you'll have already done that?
That'll be on Thursday. That'll be on Thursday, so this coming Thursday.
Hey, it's producer Max just giving you an update on Cooking for a Classic. Kyle Fletcher actually won that round, went to the finals, and unfortunately did not win, though Chef Kevin Smith from 4100 at the Renaissance Hotel took home the Corvette. So kudos to him. And Kyle, badass you, man, taking it all the way to the finals. Good luck next year. And that's to win what automobile?
So they have a 2002 Corvette convertible, six-speed manual, less than 12,000 miles. Lucy Daniels Center really went all out. I mean, it's such a fantastic charity.
A Corvette.
Yeah.
I see you in a Corvette and a Von Dutch hat and Oakley's. And maybe, like, some Crocs?
I don't know whether to take that in a good way or, like, a personal assault.
You better
so,
not sell
you
that.
Know.
You better not sell that Corvette if you win it. I want to see
that
every
might be,
day.
That might be day one. Day one.
No, so let's talk about what you prepared for tonight.
Yeah, of course.
What are you doing?
So we did duck rillettes on a bolted Levain. So it's a really awesome local bread company. Yeah. Sam and all them over there really kill it day in and day out. So we did that with some confit duck and a little fennel salad. Mm. And then we did cheese grits with a braised short rib, little pickled red onion, and then a bacon jus. Just kind of help cut through that acidity, cut through all that fat, you know, really bring it all together.
Well, and it goes really well with the one non-liquor that was represented tonight. And that was just because our good friends over at Whiskey Kitchen were also able to be our good friends with Heaven Hill, where my co-host Matt Weiss used to be a rep for. No longer, but used to be.
Between the two of you, you literally know everyone. It's kind of annoying.
It's kind of ridiculous. It's like.
But Heaven Hill was gracious enough to come and support us with their brand new Elijah Craig Rye. So that's an old fashioned that you're also doing tonight.
Yeah, we're rocking out some Elijah Craig Rye old fashions.
One's had this yet. This
no
is
one,
the first time.
This is
public.
Brand new to the state. This is the first time it's being served anywhere ever, actually. They only released this to 3 or 4 states, I forget. They will grow that eventually, but they're trying to make sure that everyone who orders it gets the full amount, given that it's a new whiskey.
It's phenomenal.
And we've been using Elijah Craig in our old fashioned since we opened, and we're about to sell our 50,000th one.
Holy crap.
In 3 years. So,
well, you guys are coming off of your win as best restaurant for the NCRLA, where Matt and I were the MCs. We had everything to do with your win, and we will take all the credit that we can with it.
I will agree to that. I'm here for it. It's fine.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But you also in the studio as well, or not in the studio, but at the kitchen. Michael Thor, he's wheeling around as well, and we got a great team of people going in. I want to swing it over to the Kraken, but I'll give you respect, Lauren, and pretend like I didn't just spill my cocktail all over the floor right now. Lauren, you never get to speak on the microphone. Even when you were a co-host on the podcast, you said maybe one thing the entire time.
It's kind of hard to, like, break in there when you have your speech ready to go. You're
He's
like,
prepared.
Oh, and then Max
marriage.
Is like...
Max so, is prepared always.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just dead air is not a good time, right? You know, I don't want to edit the entire show. So, Lauren, I want to talk to you about Raleigh Magazine, because you guys do a ton there, and you are a writer there, and it's funny, when I send Lauren the episode for the week, just to have her understand what's going on. By the way, it's pretty cool, because Lauren does the social media for the NCFMB podcast, but the way it typically breaks down is, like, on a Monday or Tuesday, I'll finish editing the show that's going to go out that week, and I'll send it to Lauren so that she can understand what is actually happening on the show, so then she can post about it. And then it's just amazing because she'll get what she gets out of the show and use that in the post. And then I'll realize, oh, yeah, that's what we talked about. Like, or she'll hit on points that hit her. And then that comes out and I'll go, oh, yeah, I guess that was kind of an interesting point. That's something we glossed over or whatever. So I appreciate giving us perspective. And she's been doing this on our show for like 2 years now, if not
A year?
No, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's just been a year, though. It's been, like, just over a year.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
It's been longer than that. You yourself are always doing an article with someone or writing an article about somebody, and then I'll send you our show, because you don't really know what we're doing until I send it to you. And you're like, oh, John Sealbinder. Yeah, we just did an article with him. It's going to come out next week, or we just did it last week, or whatever it is. But there's a lot of mutual, like, kind of synergy through all this stuff. So it's kind of fun. So with that said, what's going on at Raleigh Magazine, and, like, what is your process?
It's kind of like the same thing. The process is the same as what you do. Like, I interview someone, and then instead of editing it down to a podcast, I write it into a story. This week, on Wednesday, I'm interviewing some guy from Wilbur's Barbecue, which I'm very excited about.
Wilbur's is out there in East North Carolina, right? Like,
Goldsboro.
Yeah, it's Goldsboro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they closed, and they're reopening in like a month or so. So I'm interviewing someone from there for a story.
Very cool. Because what we need now is another barbecue place to open up.
There's like 10
of them. Are they reopening in Raleigh?
I don't know. I'll know more
on
Wednesday.
She hasn't interviewed them yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, very cool. All right. Well, let's get out of here. That's about 20 minutes right now. We're gonna pause, and we're going to come back with more people from tonight and complete the show. But thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you guys in a sec. Here's a commercial break.
I do want to share one tip that most restaurateurs should be doing, and that's their online platform. And eHungry.com is a great sponsor of our show because they give you and create the platform for you. So say you wanted to do takeout or some sort of order in business and increase your revenue, they will do that for your business, and all they take is 1.9% of the sales that they earn, and they don't even take it for the first 30 days. And if you use the NCFB promo code, or you tell them that you heard about them on the NCFB podcast, you'll get 60 days for free. So go to eHungry.com and increase your revenue if you're a restaurateur.
This segment is brought to you by our brand new sponsor, the Folks Foundation. They are champions of all good things crafted in North Carolina and the folks that make them. And so for you, as a listener, you can sign up and become a member of the Folks Foundation. As a member, you are directly supporting makers, growers, crafters, and artisans of North Carolina from the mountains to the sea. And when you support, you are benefiting handcrafted culture in our state that directly affects our lives every single day, from local products that we eat to the music and podcast production we listen to every day. But membership packages include a subscription to the Folks Journal, discounts to their general store, which has amazing products online, and access to exclusive content. So visit them at folksfoundation.org or check the link on our show notes in the podcast. That's the Folks Foundation.
Unique New York. Unique New York.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
Well, hello, and we are back. Thank you for staying with us during the commercial break. It's night one, Monday, of This Is Not a Happy Hour at the Kitchen. But with that, I want to help, like, explain it. And I didn't even ask them what their answers would be before this, so it's all just coming up. Lydia Santogade?
Sure. That's fine.
Santogade.
I'll answer to that.
Santogade.
Santagra.
Yes, of Food Scene.
Yes.
And Caitlin Peterson of MRC, two employees that work inside of the kitchen. Hello, how are you?
We're doing great.
Wonderful.
Having fun, yeah.
Yeah. Any of the visuals that you've seen on social media for our Happy Hour series have all been done by Caitlin. So, Caitlin, let's start with you real quick.
Oh,
you're one of the newest members of our team here. You recently were hired by MRC. Quick background. You have a little background in design?
Yeah, so I started in advertising. I'm going to squat here.
You can move the mic. You can make it. Go to you.
Sorry, Lydia.
Oh, yeah. We were literally just talking about our height differences. It's couldn't be clearer now.
So I started in advertising and worked with a lot of marketing agencies before I joined MRC. And I really love working for MRC. It's very different from advertising. It's more branding, which is what I'm more passionate about.
So it's more like, for the layman, it's like a lot more drawing and designing, right?
Yeah, it's a lot more concepting and creating something from, you know, a concept instead of taking a concept and just creating more materials for it.
Yeah. MRC typically, not always, but typically works in the food and beverage industries. Is that fair to say?
So usually we have a lot of food and beverage companies that either are new or already have a concept and want a new brand or an updated concept. So just to keep with the times, you know, get more people coming to the restaurant.
Funny. How's Mike Rosato?
He's wonderful. He's a great boss.
Oh, how dare you? Such an easy
answer.
Thing. Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't say hello to my guest co-host, former guest of the show, Mr. Stephen Such. Hello, sir.
What's going on?
He's playing the role of Matt Weiss right now, and he's doing it better than most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite as attractive as Matt, but I do what I can.
So you and Terry were hosts of the show one time during the Happy Hour series last year, and it's the first time that we let the controls over to two other people that weren't us. We actually did a show where Matt and I recently were not the hosts. I don't know if you listened to it yet, but it was the all-ladies show where Cappy Pete and Inez Rubistello were the hosts talking about Women on Wine. What did you think about that?
I thought it was a great episode. I appreciated that it was, you know, female-driven and female audience, female guest. It was awesome. I thought those ladies did a fantastic job.
It was cool. I was in the room, just so you guys know, spoiler alert, but I had to, like, hit record and stop, but that's all I did. But I was just sitting there. Amy Best Cook, who's a local or originally from Raleigh, has now made her hay out there in Sonoma and in Napa, wine country in California, but is starting an awesome project. It's like Matt and I both said, we want to interview her, but as dudes talking about a female empowerment kind of issue, kind of sounds lame for us to be a part of this. And our point of view would probably be a little skewed too. So anyways, I thought it was fun. So I like that. I want to do more of that. I want to do less as a host. Just get me off the mics.
Just push play.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we're going around the room.
Hi.
So, Greg Wingett, you are the brewer of Y Hill Kitchen and Brewing.
Yep.
You started in September of last year, not too far along. So I consulted there until about that time, and there was the interviewing process, and literally like one of the last things that I was kind of consulted on was who is going to be the new brewer of the brewery. You came in, and I got to say, you blew me away. Like, you were super impressive. You had all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed, but also had vision for being artistic and forward-thinking. Just give us a little bit about where you came from before and what brought you to White Hill.
Well, so I've been in the local brewing scene for a while now at Big Boss and Fortnite and a couple other local breweries. I don't know, I just brewing is something that's been a passion of mine for a long time, from making beers in my garage for close to a decade now.
Since
to
before you were allowed to drink?
Close to there, yeah, but so yeah, I mean, my style has just developed from there, and just kind of the beers that I like to drink for the most part is where I draw inspiration from.
It's a tiny brewery. Mm-hmm. It's not fancy at all.
That's accurate.
Yeah, and it's kind of like writing music on a really old acoustic guitar, right? In some way, it's like
it's a vintage instrument for sure. Yeah,
yeah, but you're able to get some good stuff out, like what we're drinking right now, which is Black Rain. Explain this upper downer that I'm drinking right now.
So it's a Baltic porter at its base. We brewed it with Counterculture Coffee in Durham, which I drink their coffee literally every day. I'm a huge, huge fan of Counterculture's coffee. They kind of worked with us on a proprietary method for steeping coffee in a hot steep that you do as well as a cold steep. So it's an extended 12-hour process. And being a Baltic porter, it's also a lager, so you know you're looking at a 2-week ferment plus 12 weeks in conditioning time. So you were talking about a 14 or 15 week turn on this beer. So it was a very long time in the making.
I just spilled 5 ounces of it just 2 minutes ago.
How dare you?
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. No, it's delicious. I don't know if anyone else in the room has had this beer yet, but the Black Rain is delicious. You also, we were talking about how you made a caffeinated lager.
Yes,
that was called a hyper.
Hyperspeed. It's a coffee pilsner. So that's actually going to be coming back in a full force type capacity within the next few months.
Yeah.
So that's just a variation on our German pilsner that I dose coffee into, and it is very caffeinated.
It's crazy. So, like, kiddingly, and I'll say this, trying to be not too Tony Montana when I say this, but I've had this lager, and it's, you know, think of it as like a light, crushable, you know, far be it for me to compare this, but, you know, like the Michelobes and the Bud Lights and all that you've had that are like the light lagers, but throw a bunch of caffeine into it. After drinking a pint of it, I felt like Tony Montana, and I was like, eh! It hopped me up so much. I was running around like a crazy person. I was like, what did I just take?
Yeah.
But it was just beer. It was insane.
Yeah. Well, and coffee, but...
Yeah, well, it was a lot of coffee. No, very cool, and so amazing to see what you guys are doing over at Y Hill. You're really pushing a creative envelope over there, which is really cool. So I love it. I'm, you know, near and dear to my heart. But after I left, you kind of stepped right in as like this creative force, and you've just been doing so awesome over there. So kudos to that. If you haven't had any beer at Y Hill recently, come check it out.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Let's switch over. I want to talk about liquor right now because we got three gents in the room of two different companies. Well, Tony, let's bring you on as well with Zach and Steve. So we have Ava Labs is something new. It came out of a brainchild from NC State with the two students that were there. It was their concept. NC State didn't do this. It's just they went to school there and they like you know learned about it while they were there. Right, yeah. But Steve Guido and Zachary Fernside of Ava Labs came together and figured out a concept that does what with alcohol?
So we're accelerating the process of aging. So basically when you produce liquor, you're basically brewing beer, you're distilling it, and at that point you end up with a clear product. So it's basically similar to vodka, and it's relatively flavorless most of the time. I'm sure there's some that will argue with me on that.
I might have something to say about that, but yeah.
But you get where I'm going. So basically the process from there is typically to put it inside a barrel, a wooden barrel, and over time it imparts flavor, color, and you know a lot of chemical processes are going down to change the properties of what's inside. And so we figured out a way to expedite that process, to accelerate it from several years down to several days. We make equipment for distilleries to help them implement that and you know do it in a way that's good for business, good for creating new types of products.
Well, hold all on, kinds Steve, of stuff. I'm just in dumb plain speak, you're able to age liquor at a rapid pace.
Yes.
Than what you're able to do. So like, okay, for those that don't understand, like if you had moonshine's basically whiskey, but it's whiskey not the way that you would know it because typically it's not barreled, and the barrel itself is what gives it the color and gives it the softness and the richness of the flavor profile. What they're doing at Ava Labs is an accelerated process that is effectively giving you the same output of what you would get if you aged it for 5 to 6, 7, 12 years, depending on the process of what you're specifically doing with them. But in the end, and I've tried it because you've given me just straight like grain alcohol that you got from somebody. Then you put it through the process of your system and they are two totally different end results. Yeah, and one is clear, and then the other one has this cool amber golden feel to it because it looks like it's been in oak barrels for 10 years. But in effect, it probably was in there for how long through your process?
About 5 days. 7 days.
5 to 7 days.
It's like an Instapot for booze.
Yeah. Exactly. Nice Instapot for booze.
Surprisingly, not the first time that correlation has been made, but yeah.
But that makes a whole lot of sense. Now, I do want to, we've talked about this before, I want to do a full-fledged podcast with you guys, like where we get deep in and geek out and like really get into this, and I want you to tell me all your secrets and all the trade stuff, and I want to know your patents so that I can steal this later. But for just a high profile, you brought in, and it's not just for like gin or for whiskey or for whatever, like it's, you can do this with anything.
For the most part, it's applicable to basically any type of hard alcohol at this point, and I think there's future applications that we'll get into, but that's where we're starting.
What about rum? Do you guys age rum?
We do.
Interesting, because there's a guy that represents the Kill Devil Rum from Outer Banks over here. We've had Scott on from Kill Devil before, where I had a co-host that wasn't Matt Weiss. It was this young lady that maybe you've heard of before, Vivian Howard.
I think I've seen her once or twice, yeah, maybe.
She'll be in studio in 2 days, or on Thursday. She'll be here recording about her new show that's coming out, and we'll get into that soon. But after a Chef Life stopped, she has a whole new thing. We'll talk about that then.
It's nice. I just went down and visited her the other day. It's coming out really nice.
I just watched the first one on hand pies. And
nice.
She's kicking ass. And she's our friend Oscar Diaz he's got a little time on there. A lot of great cameos of excellent people from the North Carolina food and beverage industry make their way on it. I didn't see myself on it yet, but I think my face might make an appearance.
Maybe the back of the head.
No. I think I actually might be on the show.
Nice.
On an episode coming up soon, because I might have been on camera.
You know they can do editing, right?
Now that I've said this, I definitely won't be on. But this beautiful voice you guys are hearing is Tony Orsoni. If you have had cocktails in the Triangle, Raleigh specific, you've been to Bittersweet, you would have had drinks from him. If you bought liquor as a proprietor at a restaurant, he worked for Southern for a long while and he sold you liquor. But now we brought him back in. We got him out of that national big conglomerate company, of which, you know, you and I both worked for that company.
Yeah, we do. We share
not at
that
the same
lineage.
Time, but we both worked for the same company at some point, which wasn't a bad company to work for. Props to Southern Glazers. Now.
Southern Glazers, yeah.
Yeah, one of the. It's the biggest company,
the biggest
distributor in the nation. But now you represent Kill Devil Rum out of, is it Kitty Hawk or where are you specifically?
We're in Manio, North Carolina.
Manio, okay.
Yes, we had to be on a sewer system, so that's where we ended up.
Yeah, you're actually not too far from Marshallberg Farms, the caviar farm that we had earlier on this year, which is pretty cool. But so, Tony, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
You guys make rum.
We do. We make rum as often as possible, yeah.
What happened to the packaging when you came on?
Oh, yeah. So we ended up switching packaging from an older classic bottle that got us to where we were. It's kind of like your reliable first car. It's not necessarily the sexiest and it wasn't necessarily the best. But it was good. It represented us. And
like a short, stout bottle.
Short, stout, yeah. We had a little trouble fitting into wells and whatnot.
Yeah, but you, yourself, you're a classic bartender.
You have to be able to like actually manipulate the bottle itself. Plus, we wanted to show homage to North Carolina and where we are. So we actually took this this picture on the front of the bottle. It's from Burnside Expedition. So back in the Civil War, they actually went down and did cartography. And this is the map that came about of it.
That's super cool, man. And you have some laid out for us, or
yeah,
you
yeah,
could?
Kinda,
you're gonna
got, yeah, we've got a couple. We were kind of sipping out of the bottle earlier, so sorry.
That's all right. So, yeah, we've been... we're going to try some alcohol, and of course, for the listener, this is the worst part of your time.
And I only have 5 cups, so I'm going to drink out of the bottle.
There we go.
Cheers, all.
Cheers.
L'chaim.
Cheers.
Pirate style. Mm.
This is the gold, right?
So this does is it sits in a
Holy
barrel.
Shit.
Hopefully it's a good one.
That's delicious.
Thank you.
It's so clean.
Yeah.
So this one is we take once used bourbon barrels and we stick our a type of rum into it. So it starts again clean, not necessarily flavorless, but depending on what kind of product you're using, you're going to have different types of applications. So we take that and we put it in for about 15 to 18 months, depending on storm seasons. You know, a lot of the weather, which I know, you guys are...
you guys mean the Ava guys.
Yeah,
the Ava guys.
They're taking out the, like, all the mitigating factors of what's happening. I mean, you have different storm seasons, you have different types of temperature regions and whatnot. And what we're doing is we're taking those storms, allowing them to kind of play in the barrel. And depending on how it is, it might pull off sooner rather than later.
That's interesting. I haven't thought about that in speaking of Ava Labs and with your own process. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're aging something and the weather is insane, like,
it's going to change it completely. So, like, Kentucky
just have them in, like, open warehouses. You don't have them in temperature control.
We have holes in our walls. There may or may not be a screen door somewhere. we actually literally drilled through the wall to allow airflow to go through. So you get a little bit of saltiness coming off of this. That kind of flavor plays into it. But, like, in Kentucky, they have these hot summers and these cold winters. So you're getting this action off the barrel, this ebb and flow of it. Heading it out. For us, we're getting that in storm surges too. So a high pressure or low pressure system, you can actually tell the barometric pressure based on how much alcohol it smells like in the distillery.
What do you guys all think? I mean, share the mics or whatever, but like, does anybody have thoughts about what we're tasting here?
I have to say, your storm is definitely going to end up with a bit of a unique experience, which is excellent for Outer Banks being on the coast, and you get some of that right off the nose. I mean, it's definitely an enjoyable spirit. And I've seen a lot of interesting stuff, and what's cool is actually getting the opportunity to experience that, because most distilleries aren't on the coast.
That's Zach, who hasn't spoke yet on the show, but he's also with Ava Labs. So, yeah, that's interesting. What do you think, Steve?
To talk about the the ocean flavor type of thing going on. It reminded me, being a bourbon head myself, Jefferson's makes the Jefferson's Ocean, and kind of reminded me of the same type of thing where they put the barrels on the boat and you get some of the little bit of the saline on there. So I think it's delicious. It's super clean.
It's terroir, right? I mean, as Max was a wine guy.
Yeah. I still, I hate wine now. What are we talking about? Yeah. No, I agree. Like, if you're in, it's funny because Aaron of Whiskey Kitchen, he and I, when we were just chatting about something last week, he's like, as much as we don't want to admit it, what Jefferson's did with putting barrels underwater worked. Like, I'm almost upset at them for figuring that out, but it does actually do something to the aging process. It accelerates it in some form. So, of course, the Ava Lab guys understand what's going on there, but you're doing a whole different process.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but there is a point of that. I mean, whether you're taking a barrel and you're shaking it around a little bit, or you're, riddling it once you've already distilled the champagne bottle.
Or sending it to space.
Ooh, man.
I don't know if it's
new. A few
quite
vials.
Done that yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's all kinds of
expand
gimmicks
on that.
Or whatnot.
I don't know about that.
I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, it's a possibility.
I think they actually sent
you know about this?
A few vials into it.
Yeah.
There's a beer that Ninkasi Brewing Company made out of, I believe they're in Portland or somewhere in Oregon, where they sent the yeast into space and brought it back and made an imperial stout with it. And they had to do it twice because the first time the yeast died. The second time, easily probably the most expensive experiment Imperial Stout ever made.
Only a $700 million experiment. Yeah.
That's a good beer.
But it came in a beautiful box. So it was a great beer.
The best part is like somebody at a party had that beer and went, it's all right.
Guaranteed one-star check-in on Untappd.
Exactly, yeah. A Yelp reviewer is like, I've had better.
How come somebody hasn't said that it went to space and it was an Imperial Stout?
Tasting notes, it's out of this world.
Everybody, thank you for coming here tonight. We're doing this every night of the week, and so these podcasts are going to be released every night next week. As they progress. So enjoy. Hopefully you've learned a little bit about North Carolina and some of the products that we're making out of here. And we will check in with you tomorrow. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the NCF&B podcast. And if you've stuck with us this long, review us on iTunes and remember, 5 stars are encouraged.